From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
We're glad you are here today. Thanks so much. Always hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. You want to give us a shout, please feel free to go ahead and do so. We would love to hear from you. In addition to that, don't forget you can also hit us up over on the website. Check everything out over there. That's simply BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. You can find us there. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better. The best seats in the house contest going on right now. The promotion, you can hit them up at Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats. And you can maybe get registered each and every day all the way through December 8th. And you and a guest could be chosen as someone who may be heading over to Lambeau Field to enjoy the plush leather recliners in the 50-yard line to be able to take in a ball game. Not a bad way to go. That's compliments of our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's talk to Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing today? Paul, you there?
I'm here.
There we go. Okay, now we're here. There we go.
All right.
Good to get you on. So, Paul, first of all, let me just ask you blanketly, what did you take away from yesterday's ball game?
That there are things that need to be still figured out offensively in terms of finding consistency. That consistency is certainly not a problem for the Packers defense as a whole. And that Brian Gutekunst, he's not batting 1,000, okay? Jimmy Graham is a conversation we should probably have. That was not a good signing. But Jair Alexander as a draft pick, Darnell Savage as a draft pick, Za'Darius Smith, Bill, why are we even saying Pro Bowl? We should be saying All Pro. Preston Smith, same thing. Jair Alexander, All Pro, okay? Forget Pro Bowl. Three games in, these guys are All Pro level playing defense right now. And I think what I'm seeing is, yes, there are some problems, minor. I mean, okay, they're problems, but they're not like, you know, catastrophic problems defensively in terms of, you know, not being able to get off the field. That is something they need to work on. Mike Pettine is not going to show up today and tell the guys, hey, this was, you know, an A-plus performance because Denver spent too much time on the field. Now, part of that is the Packers' offense's fault, but there were too many long, sustainable drives. But I just don't remember a time, Bill, and it, probably not since 2010, that there was a defense that was just so good at getting to the quarterback and taking the ball away. And no one play all year thus far defensively has summed up taking the ball away as much as Jair Alexander literally taking the ball away from a guy and just ripping it out of his hands. And it's just so refreshing to watch a Packers football team that is winning defensively and not just like skating by winning defensively, but putting out defensive performances where, you know, top 10 defense is really like the floor at this point for me. I saw some of the stats you tweeted on earlier about where the Packers are ranking defensively. I mean, Bill, should we use the word elite? Should we use the word top five? You know, I don't know what to classify it as yet, but they are just so impressive defensively that, yes, there are things to work on, and of course the offense needs to find consistency, but this team is going to go a long, long way this season, in my opinion, because I just don't see them slowing down from a defensive standpoint.
I looked at yesterday and I thought Lindsey ran for a lot more yardage. When I finally got the final statistics, he ran, but he had key moments in which he picked up first downs and kept the sticks moving. I thought it was a good balance. 29 passes, they had 38 runs yesterday for the Denver Broncos. They had quite a few more plays than the Packers did, but they were a very balanced attack, and they kept that defense of the Packers kind of on their heels a little bit. But what impressed me was that even though they bent and they gave up some plays and they gave up some first downs, and it was a little bit deflating because yesterday on third down, I mean, the Broncos were 53%, 8 of 15. But they never panicked. You know what I mean? In years past, We would say they would score, and then it was just off to the races, and there was a panic. This group never panicked. It looked like they just kind of said, okay, no big deal. You got us on that one, but we're not going to let you in the end zone.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I mean, you're setting up the offense for short field position, like that third quarter touchdown that the Packers had. I mean, those are the kind of things where it's just been a while, Bill. It's been years since you would have things happening like that, where it wasn't all of a sudden like a slow downhill thing where, yeah, there were a couple sustainable drives. And by the way, credit to Denver's offensive game plan coming in and I think doing all it could to maximize the talent they had compared to what Green Bay had defensively. It's just been a while, man. It's been a while since you've been able to see a defense that has this many playmakers. Now, again, like I said earlier, Patton is not going to come in today and feel like there's nothing to clean up. There are things to clean up, and they do need to get off the field more quickly, and they can't rely on turnovers, okay? They can't, like, sit there and say, you know, either this is going to be a long, sustainable drive for the opposing offense, or we're going to create a turnover. There has to be a middle ground there where they're just forcing punts and not, you know, not giving up these long drives. But when you have a defense that can turn the ball over the way that Green Bay's defense has proven so far it's going to be able to, it just alleviates so many other concerns, because the name of the game is not turning the ball over offensively, which is something Aaron Rodgers, even when he's not playing great, has mastered, not turning the ball over. And it's something that the defense is doing to create turnovers. So, I mean, it's just no surprise to me that they're 3-0 when you start to look at some of these key categories and when you start to look at these key performances, because, I mean, find me a trio of players in the league on the same team playing better than Jair Alexander, Preston Smith, and Za'Darius Smith. Because that is, I mean, Kenny Clark is playing great and there's other credit to go around, but those two in particular are just difference makers, Bill. They're not just playing well, they're difference makers, and that's such a key difference for this football team so far this year compared to previous years.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. When you average it out, when you look at the yards, the total points given up, the third down percentage, when you start to look at all the placements, the Packers right now average fifth overall, as an overall ranking in all the National Football League. We said to get and be competitive and maybe really vie for some type of a Super Bowl or at least a decent postseason run, you needed to get into the top, say, 12, top 10. They've done that for the first three games. Now, the question is, because we were sitting here talking before and saying, well, you know, what quarterbacks have they faced? Well, they're not going to face. You got Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz is coming to town, but it's still going to be Mitch Trubisky. It's still going to be Kirk Cousins. You're not going to face these top-notch quarterbacks, and there's only a few elite ones out there. It's not like you're going to play Tom Brady every week. You know, so do we now take this defense and say, yeah, this is for real?
Oh, it's for real. I guess I'm trying to figure out what else people could be looking for. And, you know, there's a couple of things that I heard, read, I should say, on Twitter, especially last night, and this morning, that I would classify, you know, as being a bit nitpicky. Doesn't mean they're not valid criticisms, but it's a bit nitpicky. And that is like, well, you know, the quarterbacks that they've played. Oh, well, you know, the offenses that they've played. But you have to look at that, I mean, fairly. Like, whether you're, you know, a huge Packers fan or you're an analyst or whatever else you want to be, they've played three average quarterbacks, three average offenses. That's all fine. They've also faced three elite defenses. The Packers defense is extremely good, but you know what? Chicago's is extremely good. Minnesota's is extremely good, and Denver's is extremely good. So if you're going to be grading the defense for the Packers on a scale of, yeah, but who have they played offensively, then if you're going to criticize the offense, which deserves criticism, don't get me wrong, you should be grading it on a scale of, hey, not every defense they play this year is going to be as good as the three they just played, including, and I'm not saying Philly has a poor defense, but they're not at that same level. And they're going to be coming back on a short week and everything else. So, well, I mean, again, things to improve upon for this team on both sides of the ball. But they're 3-0. Matt LaFleur has – did you see this stat? Matt LaFleur has more wins this year than the other rookie coaches combined. He has three. The rest of the rookie coaches are 2-19-1. Okay, like that, 3-0 compared to 2-19-1 is the difference between these rookie head coaches. So I just, again, things to clean up, things to do better with. But this is a Packers team that I think the rest of the league is feeling what I'm feeling, and that is a very serious NFC threat that should probably only get better as the offense continues to get more acclimated to the Rodgers LaFleur offense.
I was making a mention a little bit earlier. Look, there's still people that want to look at Aaron Rodgers and go, well, you know, he's off. And I'm still, you know, like, look, the litmus test is still out. I'm not drawing any real conclusions. Each week I see something that I see is really good, and then I'll see something that I'll say, okay, this just isn't. And then I question whether or not it's schematics or is it the quarterback. But that pass to Marquez Valdes-Scantling on that free play, he had pressure in his face, and he was falling backwards and threw that ball 50 yards. Now, to question his arm strength at this point, I think, is probably a little ridiculous. What I would question is the ability to be as accurate as he has been in the past. But that pass, he put right into that basket, man. It was right there.
That was. And then, listen, there were probably 5-6 throws yesterday that, you know, make you wonder if Rodgers, you know, where he's at this point in his career. From a negative perspective, there was the one across the middle to Geronimo Allison that he threw 2 feet, 4 feet too high. That should have been a completion over the middle. That was a big one. There was the one over on the right sideline that he threw to Tanyan that he just skied over his head. And you're like, huh? Like, that's just not something you've just seen from Rodgers. There was in the third quarter on consecutive plays, him basically throwing it into the dirt and saying, nope, this play's not working. I'm done. And, you know, just throwing it away. All of these things that are just kind of feel anti-Rodgers-like, and it just looks like things aren't really actually fully clicking yet. And yet, despite that, on the same game, you're seeing the play that you just mentioned on the deep ball to Valdes-Scantling and some other things where it's like, right now, today, if there was a game to be played tomorrow, is Rodgers a top three quarterback? You know, are there three guys you would take ahead of him? Brady, Mahomes, I mean, I'm not sure if they're, you know, if you find another one or two,
right,
you might, like, for sure take. But, again, I think Rodgers at this point is just – some Packers fans love him, and they're going to love him no matter what he does. And there are others who are going to, you know, grade him extremely harshly. But if you don't think you have a top five, even if Rodgers is what he is, let's say the guy who threw three balls in the dirt yesterday and sailed the ball over the head of Geronimo Allison and sailed the ball over the head of Tanyan on the right sideline and really – you know, had a very, like, B-minus type of game, I would encourage people to watch the rest of the league and some of the quarterback play happening, because a B-minus type game is still, you know, yes, it's not, you know, maybe you don't want to spend $35 million a year on that B-minus game for the rest of the year, but it's still better than 90% of the quarterback play happening because of the plays he is making. So I think, you know, like, the analysis has to be fair both ways, that you can criticize and you can be – you know, you can say, like, what were some of those throws yesterday? Like, that was not Rodgers circa 2013, circa 2011. But it's also better than most of what's happening across the league. So, Packers fans, you still have a darn good quarterback. He's just maybe not what he once was.
Always good, Paul. We will chat again later in the week, okay?
All right. See you, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, to go to schneiderjobs.com. Up next, Mike Clemens, Green and Gold Insider. He will be here right after this.
On third and two, it's only a three-man rush, and open for a first down. It's Noah Fant. Ball taken away. And there's no ruling that Fant was down. Jair Alexander took the ball out of the hands of the rookie Noah Fant.
Defense wins championships. You know, it's a big emphasis on getting that ball. And how you get the ball? Good pressure, tight coverage.
Good pressure, tight coverage. And off you go. Hey, don't forget, we're going to talk a lot about this tomorrow night as well. The Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road. We're going to be at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino down in the Fire Pit Sports Bar and Grill tomorrow. 6 to 8 tomorrow night. We hope to see you down there. Come on by. Should be fun as always. It's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. That is tomorrow night, a special edition, Tuesday night edition of the Bill Michaels Huddle, 6 to 8 tomorrow night, and we will talk to you then. And joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, is here. And, Michael, it has been all about the defense as far as the positives. I was giving some of the stats out a little bit earlier, and, man, oh, man, this defense is playing at a high level right now.
Isn't this weird, Bill? You and I have been doing this together, I don't know, 12, 13 years or so, and I would say 11 of those years we pretty much talked about the great stuff the offense did, but they needed help on defense and
right.
special teams. And in one year, this is just, the story is completely flipped. And you've got the defense coming up with big plays, leading the NFL by creating 8 turnovers, 4 picks, 4 fumbles, and they've got that photo pose, they've got the slip and slide pose. They're creating fun, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk to the Smith brothers. And yes, they want to be. That's okay to call them that. It sounds corny. It sounds like some sort of a marketing ploy. But Preston and Za'Darius Smith now, when they walked in the locker room, as soon as they opened up the doors after the game last night, that's where the media huddle went to. Not to Devontae, not to a Jordy, not to offensive stars like in years past. They went to these two linebackers right away because. Another big game. Between these guys, they had 5 sacks. I think that's what Clay and Nick Perry had all last year. And then they did this in one game. So I talked to Preston and Za'Darius about, changing the attitude on the Packers' defense.
We know we got to go out there and play hard football. We don't care if they lean on us, the offense is leaning on us. We're going out there to do the best we can do. We're going to play to the level and the expectations we have for ourselves and one another. And we're going out there and being a badass defense.
But making big plays. Then going to the crowd to bring them in to celebrate, right?
For sure. I felt like coming here, they said they didn't have that. And one thing we was doing was the photo shoot. And I asked Coach, I said, Coach, man, we need a 3rd down video for the crowd to help us get loud. So to have that, man, shout out to Coach Matt for making that happen, man, and getting it done.
Do you think you guys are turning into one of the best defenses in the NFL right now?
Well, that's the goal we aim for every week, is be the best we can be and to be the best defense out there in the NFL.
Isn't that interesting? Za'Darius, probably after being voted team captain, saying,
yep.
Coach, we need to celebrate, man. We need to put something up on that scoreboard for you for 3rd down chance and all that. Let's be iconic about this. Let's lead into that. And it's choreographed, and it's allowed in the league. And that's what makes the games fun. You know, you drive by a football field and kids playing touch football, and they're imitating their favorite football players or their favorite pro wrestling guys, and that's what's good for the sport and certainly good for the team and for 78,000 cheering fans at the home field.
And Joe Flacco and company yesterday, they were the, we'll say the benefactors, if you will, of that defense. It ended up with 3 turnovers. They had the strip sack, obviously the pick. Yesterday it wasn't a good day. I mean, even though Joe Flacco, and we talked about this going into the game, they were able to rack up yardage and move between the 20s. They just weren't able to punch it in.
Yeah, and the Broncos hierarchy, they don't get why Flacco or the offense isn't taking shots downfield. They brought in a guy with a big arm to do that, and he keeps dumping the ball off. Ends up with a game with a 75 quarterback rating, and the Broncos are the same thing they are now week after week. They dominate in time of possession, but they break down when they get a sniff of the red zone. And Flacco talked about, the pressure from Preston Smith in creating that strip sack and a 5-yard field for Aaron Jones to run a touchdown.
Obviously, those things hurt, and it's they're simple things. We're dropping back to throw a 5-step go route to Cortland and strip sack, and you give them the ball inside the 5-yard line. It's going to be tough to overcome those things for sure, but I don't think that's where the game was really over. It definitely would have made a big difference.
Isn't that weird, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead.
The one time they're trying to take a shot downfield, they're like at their own 10. He drops 7 to take a shot, at Cortland downfield. And, and I talked to Preston Smith about this, and I go, well, your eyes might slide up. I mean, if they're deep in the territory, your offense is up by 10 points or something, that's when you take a shot and you blitz the guy, and it paid off. That's when you take the chance.
Well, you were talking about Joe Flacco and some of the brass being a little bit wondering, I guess, out loud whether or not this team is going to take shots downfield, and I get it. Is that what the scheme allows, or is Vic Fangio, just not allowing Joe Flacco to do certain things?
Yeah, I think the Packers defense also raised continuing serious questions about pass protection for Joe Flacco. Or is he hanging on to the ball too long? Here's what Fangio, the head coach, had to say.
There was definitely a few of those where he held it a long time. So there's only so much time you can hold the pack there. Joe's got to do a better job of getting it out quicker. The routes have to be run crisper. You know, everything's got to be better. It's not, you know, it's not just that he's holding it. Maybe he's holding it for other reasons too. So, but I thought our line, you know, for how many passes we end up throwing, you know, blocked pretty good.
But the bottom line is right now they haven't got a win. The Packers don't have to deal with them anymore, so that's good news. And, you know, that's a team right now that you figure when they made the trade for Joe Flacco that, you know, he would have been the guy, and it just hasn't worked out that way.
And the Broncos are a team where they got rid of John Fox. They brought in Gary Kubiak. Look, we still got Peyton Manning. Just win him a second Super Bowl ring, very much like John Elway 20 years ago. You know, Peyton Manning is not what he once was, of course. He could at least be a game manager. Can we bring it? And so they come up with a running game, and they come up with a great defense, you know, driven by Wade Phillips. And so they win the Super Bowl in 2015. Then they don't make the playoffs the next year. Kubiak steps down. They bring in a new coach. They have back-to-back losing seasons. So now this group is on their fourth head coach in as many years. And Emmanuel Sanders, the wide receiver, the veteran, who's been through all this, talked about now starting off 0-3 after back-to-back losing season.
Times are rough around here, you know. Obviously, the past 3 years it's been tough, you know. So trying to get it right right now. It's in 0-3, living in a world of suck. So football is still fun, but it's not so much fun when you lose, especially when you prepare as hard as you can. And you go out, you have, you know, four targets, two catches, and 10 yards, you know. But there's always next week, so I'm optimistic, man.
Living in the world of suck.
That's a T-shirt in the Broncos gift shop.
That's very damn straight that is right now. We're going to go and take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens, our NFL insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. He'll be back as well. Stay tuned. More right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
That was a pretty good team win right there. It really came down to the ball. Being +3 in the turnover ratio, you're gonna set yourself up for a lot of wins if you can do that consistently. And still got a lot of cleanup on both sides of the ball, but it always feels good to win. But I told our guys to enjoy it, but there's a quick turnaround. We know we have a really good football team coming in here, so they got to get ready to play on Thursday.
Hey, don't forget, it is the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show live again from Hinterland this coming Thursday night, immediately following Green Bay and Philly. So come on over if you're going to the game and you want to grab a bite to eat, maybe have a craft brew after the game and take a listen to the postgame show. Gary Ellerson and yours truly. It is the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show over there at Hinterland. Next door, the Lodge Kohler kickoff is going to come to you on Friday evening. So come on over to that if you're going to be in Green Bay this weekend as well. So a lot going on via the broadcasts this coming Thursday and Friday. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Mike, we were talking about this earlier about, you know, people calling in saying, well, the Packers need another weapon. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 10 targets, 6 catches, and that cat's got 4.3 speed. That's legit. He's just coming into his own right now because Devontae's being double-teamed.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, in the locker room, you kind of get the sense, well, who is the number two here? Who's the guy that is going to step up? Because they were double-teaming Devontae Adams. He said he probably had double coverage 80% of the game where Chris Harris followed him around the field, and then they would have someone over the top. So, and that's the third week in a row. I mean, we're after 3 weeks, we don't have a touchdown for Devontae Adams. And this is what teams are going to do. So that means the spotlight is on Marquez, who had the awareness to hear, you know, the hard count from Aaron Rodgers. Von Miller jumps offside. Corey Linsley smart enough to snap the ball. Now you got a free play before the refs can stop the play while they've thrown the flags. And Marquez says, we know that if we got a free play, they were actually supposed to do a running play on that play. A running play. But when they got a jump from Von Miller, MVS darts down the field, 40-yard pass, in the air, in the rain, and touchdown. But then after that, things start to drop off. I mean, he gets, as you said, he got targeted 10 times, 6 catches, dropped some balls, a couple over his head, averaged 16 yards. So he's got to step up because they're going to double-team Devontae right now. Geronimo is not the guy. mean, they're not throwing to him. Robert Tonyan was one of three catches, missed a ball on there. So we talked to Marquez about Devontae being double-teamed and battling through the weather and where they think the offense is.
I mean, obviously, you come out with a win, and that's the most important thing. Scored 27 points. You know, obviously, it wasn't a great day condition-wise, so it made it kind of hard to do everything that we wanted to do. You know, you got a guy who's, you know, an all-pro wide receiver. He's going to attract a lot of attention, you know, week in and week out, because if you don't, you know, you go and kill your defense. So that leaves opportunities for other guys to go out and make plays and get a good running game going. We can't be stopped once we get it all together.
Mike, I was going to mention, you talk about the passing game. One of the things that I saw, and I even kind of looked around when it happened to see if I was the only one that just went, whoa, they threw the football downfield to a fullback.
Yeah, well, and that's a play that we've seen in practice, and that's the variety that you like to see. You know, you like to see that they're throwing the ball again to Mercedes Lewis, at least at the start of the game, using different weapons like that. And Danny Vitale, you know, is got great coordination for a fullback and pretty good speed. So you see him line up down the left-hand side, beat his man, get a favorable matchup, and take the ball down to the goal line. And we asked him, it seemed like, you know, in the second half you came back out, you're up 17-10, and then you got the turnover and able to score. Was there talk during the halftime about adjusting to more of a running game because of the weather?
You know, we didn't really change too much. We kind of followed our game plan. We knew they were going to throw a lot of different personnel groupings, a lot of different defensive fronts at us, so we kind of planned for everything, which was good. So we just kind of stuck to our game plan and found the plays that worked against, you know, those ones that they were playing a little bit more often. You want every play to be a touchdown. But, yeah, I mean, Coach does a phenomenal job game planning. I think there's no denying that, especially with how fast we've been starting now these last 2 weeks. Coming out of halftime, like I said, too, I thought we made, you know, we kind of stuck to our game plan, made a couple adjustments. But, yeah, just from a consistency aspect, I mean, weather plays a factor today, too. You know, in terms of a couple of things, you have to change a couple play calls maybe because of that. But, yeah, overall, I think we're on the rise. We're only going to get better every week.
Danny also said he thinks the LaFleur coaching staff did a good job. They must have seen the first two games the Broncos had on how to deal with Von Miller and company in their pass rush, because they were able to protect Aaron Rodgers, who said he really only took one hit all day and was on that pass to Danny Vitale. And so you come after they're 0-3, and the Broncos' defense has zero sacks so far.
Look, the offense yesterday, I thought it was, you know, obviously foreshadowing when Matt LaFleur said he was going to limit the carries for Aaron Jones, or at least back him down, because they wanted to make sure that both him and Jamal Williams were fresh for this coming Thursday night. And then you talk about Aaron Rodgers, who, as you had noted, got beat up in that game against the Minnesota Vikings. So all in all, as an offensive unit, they came out of that thing. I mean, you're 3-0, and you're feeling pretty good about it because you didn't take a physical pounding or anything like that, right?
And that's important. A slippery surface, maybe that's not the best for Aaron Jones to work on as opposed to the Jamal Williams, who's the more power back that runs straight ahead. But Aaron Jones goes from his career day against the Vikings to his worst day as a Packer. He only averaged 1.9 yards per carry on 10 attempts. And there's another guy that, you know, you just take, you know, Aaron Jones now, and he's a straightforward guy. Just sort of take his temperature to say, where do you feel like your offense is at, even though you're 3-0?
We're not where we want to be, but we know we're in a good spot, but we know there's a lot that we can still continue to grow and build upon, and this thing is not close to where we want it to be.
How's the recovery process different this week? What do you have to do differently to get ready to play Thursday?
Oh, you got
to
get your mind and body right. I mean, quick turnaround. We had mandatory tubs right now, so the team's doing good, trying to get us ready. We got massages tomorrow, just different things to try to get our bodies back regenerated.
I look at this team, and well, you mentioned Jamal Williams. I look at Jamal Williams, and, you know, he's not having, you know, his greatest game, as you had mentioned, but you know, the fact is they're scoring points. It's increased each and every game. They didn't look good in the Bears game. They came out and looked really good in that first quarter against the Minnesota Vikings. They had a little bit more stable offense in this particular game. It wasn't great, but they continue to get better, and Jamal Williams talks about that, right?
Yeah, and they did feed Jamal the pass, the one pass that got him 17 yards. He looks pretty good in those screens. Otherwise, he picked up 59 yards and averaged 4.9 on 12 carries in the rain. And so he was asked, and I think he was pretty straightforward about it. So you score 10 against the Bears and 21 against the Vikings and 27 against the Broncos. And it's interesting when you ask these guys, so do you think you're there yet on offense?
I say better than last week, but we still got more to improve. So I'm just going to leave it at that for right now.
Why would you say it was better than last week?
I just feel like we just get more – I feel like we just get more – I don't know how to really say it. I just feel like our dog just – how our defense is playing, our offense just want to be just as good as our defense, you know what I mean? So we just trying to do the best we can, and the way we see our defense is playing, it keeps us motivated and keeps us just wanting to just keep on pounding the ball and just get the job done, make sure we get the dub. We proud of it, we really are, but we know how this league is, and you got to come with your best every week because people just, you know, your opponent's not going to care about your record. They're going to come in here and do their job like how we do ours. So you just got to take it. It's a good accomplishment, 3-0, but we still got more left. But we want to, you know, we want to still score some more and just keep on piling scores onto the scoreboard.
Jamal, it seems like when the weather gets worse, you get better.
Me?
Yeah. What is it about when these conditions, you seem to be
– I love it. I love it all. The rain, because I think the rain slows everybody else down. So I feel like I feel like a mermaid. I feel like a mermaid and everybody else like dog swimming. You know what I mean? So I be feeling like I'm just fluent out there. So I think it's the rain. I feel like SpongeBob.
I tell you what, between SpongeBob and a mermaid, Mike, talk about T-shirts. There's something to be made there. I'm just throwing it out there. Hey, you got another segment in you?
I do.
Let's hang in there. Mike Clemens, by the way, is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. We're going to be there tomorrow night, 6 to 8, for the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by Bud Light. And we'll step back with Mike Clemens coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Shaw, we continue on wrapping things up as we sit here with Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. So, Michael, we heard from, the running backs. We've heard from the wide receivers. You know, I like right now when you talk about Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who is the true number two. He's the number two, in my opinion. I think Geronimo Allison's still going to be a developing guy. I thought last year before he got hurt, he was a guy that was starting to come into his own. But this is only the second year for MVS, and Davante Adams is right now getting all the double teams and triple teams. Look, Davante Adams, tell me this, Mike, and you've seen them both. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is 4.3 speed. That's legit.
He's the fastest guy in the field.
By all means.
Darnell Savage Jr., the new safety, can't keep up with him. He's faster than anybody in the field. But let me ask you this. You know what a good kid MVS is.
Right.
And you got the height, and the speed is undeniable. Are you 100% about the hands? My sense is Rodgers doesn't trust him enough yet.
Probably. Last year was a telling year. Aaron Rodgers was throwing to guys who were open. He wasn't throwing open, throwing guys open. You know what I mean?
And
he wasn't throwing to spots.
That they go, they had a 75-yard drive, which was nice, a 5-yard drive, thanks to a turnover, a 37-yard drive, thanks to a turnover. That was it. That was the three touchdowns they scored. Thank goodness to the tremendous field position, the turnovers. But, it's almost like Geronimo Allison feels like he's taken a step back. Maybe he's lost a little confidence. I mean, no one's standing up there to be number two or number three. It's like a revolving door.
Do you think that Marquez Valdes-Scantling, because I think he's got all the tools to be a true number two or even a number one in this league.
I do. I want to think positive that way. I know he's going to work hard at it. And then you got Davante Adams, your pro, who just had a baby girl. He and his wife, that's why he missed practice the other day. Deja Lee is her name, so he talked about that. And while he's trying to talk about, here I got double teamed. I only got four balls thrown my way. I really wasn't much of a factor again. Still don't have a touchdown, and we're 3 weeks into the season. And he's trying to talk to the media. Meanwhile, they're making that announcement that out in the media auditorium, Aaron Rodgers is going to have his press conference while Devontae is trying to talk to about 30 reporters at his locker.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. It's it's almost to the point where I'm still tired from when I was on the field, and they already got a takeaway. So, you know, this team works together. So to be able to.
All right.
but yeah, we get into a rhythm. It's gonna be dangerous.
Hey Tay, how do you stop those lulls on offense? Then what do you guys have to do?
Just figure out what's working. You know, the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I feel like we got certain runs that we're hitting, and you know, they're working really well. Not saying that we're not, but you know, that's something that we got to lock in on a little bit more to make sure we're communicating, talking to the, you know, coaches about what I want to run, what I'm seeing, things like that. Because obviously defenses adjust, so it'll make it tougher throughout the game. To anybody can come out and score on the first drive, because it's kind of like, you know, you don't really know what to expect as a defense. But as you start to see what the offense is aimed at and what they're trying to do, you know, if we're trying to run the ball, if we're trying to, you know, establish the presence in the pass game, you know, you just got to be able to balance it and do both, and then you know, it makes it tough on the defense.
Mike, we were sitting there yesterday, and I looked down and I thought to myself, when was the last time I saw Aaron Rodgers? Now, granted, he ended up above that, but when was the last time I saw Aaron Rodgers under 50% completion percentage as a quarterback? Now, he ended up 17 of 29, but at one point he was below 500 coming out of the third quarter.
Yeah, and at the end of the third quarter, they had on the stat sheet that says time of possession, Broncos, 29 minutes, Packers, 15 minutes. In other words, the Broncos had the ball at the end of the third quarter, 2-1. And yet, the Packers were up 24-16 at the end of the third quarter. It's the score that counts. But I had a woman, a friend of mine, come to me and say, I've already booked a room for Miami for Super Bowl 54. Are the Packers going to be there? She's a diehard Packers fan. I go, a year ago at this time, I felt very strongly about the Rams because of Sean McVay, because of being around him at the Combine and what they were putting together out there. I really did early on, even before they went on their undefeated streak. I don't know who's in the NFC right now. People are talking about the Cowboys. I just know right now the Patriots and the Chiefs, those are Super Bowl caliber teams right now. Could the Packers get there by November? Well, isn't this weird? We got to talk about Aaron Rodgers getting his numbers up. So, you're right. I mean, his passer rating, he was, let's see, at halftime, his passer rating was, he was 11 of 23 in his completions. And Matt LaFleur was asked about this by Bill Scott. You've worked with Bill in the network before. Mm-hmm. You know, the upfront guy. Hey, coach, you know, after three quarters, your quarterback's under 50% completion rate. And here's what Matt LaFleur reacted to that Q&A.
Up until the final drive, Aaron was less than 50% completion percentage. It looked like he was throwing a lot of ball away today where there wasn't anything apparently open. Is that a conversation you guys have, or is he just kind of doing that?
He was less than 50%?
Drive, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
Would you agree with that? He was throwing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there was a series there where we threw two balls away back to back. I think he's done such a great job in terms of just first and foremost taking care of the football. Again, I don't think he's satisfied with where we're at offensively as well, either am I. But you know, I think he's done everything that we've asked him to do, and he's done a good job with that. We just got to continue to make sure that we put him in position to make plays down the field.
Look, when he talks about taking care of the ball, okay, I can go along with that. Right now, Aaron Rodgers, Mike, and we all know Aaron Rodgers usually in the top three or four when it comes to quarterback rating, 96.5. Nothing to write home about. I mean, it's very, very good. But he's behind guys like Phillip Rivers, Matthew Stafford, Marcus Mariota, Deshaun Watson, Daniel Jones, you know, Case Keenum right now, even. He's behind him. It's just, when you look at where Aaron Rodgers normally is, right now, is it just a byproduct of you're trying to learn the new system? You're trying to throw touchdown passes. You're not turning the ball over. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has 10 touchdowns already. You know, look at a guy like Russell Wilson who has 7, Brady who has 7, Lamar Jackson's got 7, Brissett's got 7. Aaron Rodgers got 4.
My sense is Aaron Rodgers knows the system. I don't know if he trusts the players around him know the system, or that it's going to be there. And some of those air balls you saw, particularly in that period there, like in the second quarter and later in the game. Now, I'll give them credit, and I asked them about this after the game. They had the one drive they in the fourth quarter where they knocked off like 11 plays and 9 minutes off the clock. And when you've got the lead, keep the ball away from the Broncos, to take away the momentum. Beautiful drive. And it was just a little short passes, and he kind of dismissed that. But he was asked, were there periods where you were just throwing the ball away today?
There were definitely some throwaways today, and we had a few where we just weren't on the same page, so we got to clean some things up. You know, there's times in this game I felt like I was in a really good rhythm, and then times where I felt like we were all a little stagnant. So we got to keep finding ways to stay in that rhythm, because I feel really good about the offense and the potential, but potential has got to start getting closer to the actual performance.
He's right. I think that's what everybody's waiting for, is for this thing to finally start taking off, because we kept saying the only thing they changed this year was Billy Turner coming in to anchor that line. Other than that, nothing was going to change. So what was going to make this offense better than what it was last year? And we all agreed that it just had to be the scheme. So I can agree with you.
LaFleur's trying to make him happy, and LaFleur was very public when he said last week, in 10 minutes I got a meeting with Aaron, we're going to talk about third and long plays. Like against the Vikings, the menu for the third and long, the comeback plays, as they call them. Like, can we get back into the game? You know, they got those draw plays and those stupid dump-off screens and all that, and Rodgers wanted something else. But it just seems like they start off with a great script. They tear up the field in the first or second quarter, and then when the defense of the opposition starts making adjustments, these guys are at odds ends as to which direction to go with the play calling.
Yep, I get it. I understand it. It's going to be a work in progress. Probably take a few more games to figure out. Mike, good stuff. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, brought to you by our friends at Potawatomi Hotel Casino. Everything's happening right there. Go to PageBig.com. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Sweet.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.